Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to a special segment of the A New Day Show. Yes, you are listening to the A New Day Show on a Sunday morning. And I just want to go ahead and say Happy Easter to each and every one of you, wherever you are and, you know, whatever country you are in. I just want you to experience this Easter season and to just realize what is the true meaning of Easter. I know that people get into all the festivity, but what does Easter really mean for you? Yes, today we are continuing our conversation on vision, because you know that the Vision Conference is coming up. You know, we just have a little bit over a month, and the Vision Conference will be here. The date for that is May the 6th through the 9th. And we are doing frequent conversations where we are featuring some of our presenters, or we are featuring other people from our community. And even some of you, our listeners, will be on here discussing what vision means for you. So today I have a very special guest who has been hanging out in the virtual green room for a while. I want to remind you of the telephone number that you can call in to join our extremely stimulated conversation. And that phone number is 646-915-8166. Again, the phone number is 646-915-8166, and momentarily we'll get the chat room up and running, so we are going to be ready to have a great morning. Well, without any further delay, my distinguished, honored guest for this episode this morning is an amazing young lady who is doing some great things to change the world that we occupy. And she is none other than L. Denise Jackson. Denise, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, Dr. Daphne. I am great, great, great. After a long week, it is a pleasure to be with you and share this day, this really good Friday. On so many levels.
It is a great, blessed, good Friday. And I know for some of us, when we say Good Friday, it has a great spiritual impact for us. And for others, you know, they're probably just thinking it's a Good Friday when I get to go home because I don't really like the job I'm at. But in spite of all of that, we encourage people to do the best you can on the job that you're at now so that God will promote you out of there into great and better things. And that's one of the reasons why we are also committed to the Vision Conference, because we want to have people clearly understanding why God created them and for what reason. And we have a magnificent team that is lined up, who we all indeed have connected with our purpose and calling. We know why God created us, and we are committing to help others understand that. So I am just so privileged to have met you and to really embrace the vision and the journey that you are on. So I want to encourage our listeners, grab your pads, grab your pen, because there will be some nuggets that you'll be able to jot down. So, L. Denise Jackson,
yes.
Who is she? And let us talk about her humble beginnings.
Wow. So, L. Denise Jackson is a native of southern New Jersey, out of Burlington, New Jersey, where the original Burlington Co. factory is. It's so funny. I tell people that growing up, you know, we had everything that we needed and a lot of things we wanted. And my mother was a homemaker. My father worked in auto body. And it wasn't until I was about 8 that my mom went to work. And I have an older sister. So my mom was home all that time, and she wanted to go to work, and she didn't have to, thank goodness, but she wanted to. And she began to go to work, and she stapled hair nets for a living. So the hair nets that the little lunch ladies wear, that's what my mother did, 8 hours a day.
Interesting. 8 hours a day. Interesting, because you know those little hair nets.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Jamaica, West Indies. And every time I go into the a food place where I see the ladies with the hair nets,
yeah,
I say, isn't that something, how cultures differ? Because in Jamaica, women that are going to church on a Sunday, majority of the women in the rural parts, they don't straighten their hair and all of that.
Okay.
So they would unbraid their hairs, and they would comb it back.
Okay.
And they would put the hair net over the hair. So
Oh.
it holds it neatly in place.
Yes.
And on top of that, now they put their hat.
Okay.
So you saw this neat bundle of hair in the back, and the hat is on top of that. And I come here and I look at it and I said, why are they doing that to the hair net? You know,
right?
Because
right.
I've obscene the hair net so sophisticatedly used. And so it's interesting to hear and that your mom did that 8 hours a day.
Right.
Eight hours a day,
stapled hair nets, staple her finger a couple of times, but stapled hair nets. And,
wow.
And it's so funny because, you know, in our culture, it's, you know, it's what the little lunch ladies wear, maybe some people
mm-hmm.
in nursing, but definitely people that deal with food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was in eighth grade, sometimes I would curl my hair. I had a lot of hair. It was thick.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, when it rained or something, it would fall. So I learned how to, and they were the real thin, invisible ones. So
mm-hmm.
unless you got really close, you didn't know that there was a net there. So I
That's
used to
right.
Work.
That's
I'm
right.
Big, you know, you don't know because they're so, you know, they're so thin.
Yes.
Especially if you get, like, different colors, you have no clue.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
right.
I'm a big headband wearer. I still wear headbands today. And I would wear my headband and put the net on so it would go on the top part of the headband.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would tuck my hair under, and it looked like my hair was just curled under, and my hair would be neat all day.
Yes,
it
because
would look great
the hair
all
is so
day.
Thin. Yeah.
Yep, they're invisible, and nobody would
is
know. So
that's something.
So I was like, Mommy, bring me home some hair nets. I'm running
oh,
out.
My
you know,
God.
They would snag or, you know, get a
mm-hmm.
hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And I know in Jamaica, like, people used to extend the use of the hair nets because, I mean, if you're poor, you can't buy the hair nets regular. So when
oh,
there
okay.
is a hole in it,
uh-huh.
you know, the ladies would get their sewing thread, black thread to mend that hole so they can extend the use of the hairnet.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. Thousands of miles away, and we had the same experience. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. And all to look neat. Well, for my purpose was to look neat because I wasn't working in the food industry, but yeah,
exactly.
My purpose was to look neat.
It's the same way, too, with the ladies in Jamaica, because the hair weren't pressed or anything like that. So it looked neat.
Right.
And you put your hat on top, and there's this neat bungle of hair behind. And that's how the ladies dressed to go to church.
Right.
You know? And some of the older ladies would use the thicker one, so it really wasn't invisible. So you could see the net over the hair. But as you say, majority of the ladies wore the invisible one, where you just see a neat bundle behind
exactly.
them. So isn't that something? That is amazing.
It is. I never knew. That's amazing to me. I can't wait to tell my mom when I go home tomorrow.
Oh, my Lord. You know, you never know. You never know the impact that our humble beginnings have on us.
No.
So you grew up, you have an older sister.
Right. I have an older sister. It's just her and I. And we grew up in a rural suburb, and a rural suburb meaning our house was built on farmland.
Mm-hmm.
But the development was established like in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the second owners, so we still have a neighbor who's like the only owner. She's the first person that moved in, and
mm-hmm.
she's still there. But down the street was farmland, so
yes.
I grew up in a wonderful place where I could, we had the suburb, and we had a pool and all of that, and I would ride my bike maybe an eighth of a mile.
You
maybe.
All were rich folks.
No, we were.
I mean, with swimming pool Denny's. I mean, if you look back, you know,
right.
you would think, you know.
Right. Well, okay. So that part of the story is going to be interesting when I get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to ride my bike down the street to the farm. There was a farm called Cannulli's, and I would go down to Cannulli's and get whatever I wanted. Sometimes I would take my friends down there, and we would get like a basket of peaches, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they say, "Oh, honey, take it." You know, I'm sure my father paid, but you know, I was used to eating honeysuckle and
mm.
having peaches. Even though we lived in the suburb, right down the street were peach farms and apple farms, and not far were blueberry farms and things like
mm-hmm.
that. So I kind of had, you know, we lived in the suburb, but I had all the comforts and the
of wholeness. The natural foods and everything
yeah.
like that. And isn't it amazing?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Isn't it amazing that you are able to ride your bike down there? And I know your parents
yeah.
weren't out watching you, but now people don't even allow their kids
yeah.
to walk to the end of their street, because, and rightfully so. They have
right.
so many dangerous things happen, but to listen to the life, the healthy life that you grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back then, that was a true example of it takes the village to raise the child, because I know the entire neighborhood protect the kids.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, they knew us. I mean, we knew how far to ride. We were safe, and, you know, We were safe. I mean,
yes.
you know, how people drove was safer. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but the neighborhood knew us. So, yeah, if you did something wrong, yeah.
That's right. You don't
you
have
know.
To wait to go home to be corrected, because, I mean, Mas Joe and Miss Mary would correct you before you get home. And I know for me growing up, I'm thinking, oh, God, please don't let anybody say anything to Mama. Let them just leave it here, because.
Right, right.
Oh. It was going to be something else. Yes, but you talk about growing up in the suburbs and having a pool and the fresh fruits and all of that.
Right. And not just that. I mean, even vegetables. We had a farm that was halfway to our high school, and our high school and our middle school
mm-hmm.
was maybe a five-minute ride. And in between, in the middle of the trip, there was a huge farm. So we had collard greens and mustard greens and peas and string beans and cabbage. So anything we wanted, we had. And then just about everybody had, most of the people on my block had a little garden in their yard,
That's
in the
right.
corner of their yard. So we shared
mm-hmm.
vegetables. the man across the street, Mr. Conigny, he would always go fishing. He's always had a boat as long as I can remember. So he would go fishing. He would bring the fish back and
fresh.
He would share, yeah, fresh fish. So he would share them with my dad, and they would be out there clean the fish, and then they would split them, or he would ask my dad to go hunting. My dad used to hunt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I grew up with rifles on my wall in the rec room, which scared a lot of boys. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, you know, my dad, yeah, they were like, is that a semi-automatic? I'm like, yeah, that's a semi-automatic gun, you know. But I grew up with it, so it was no big deal to me. And, you know, my dad would go out. So we ate quail, and we ate venison, and we had rabbit and duck. And
I love rabbit.
Right. We ate all these things. And I never knew, because, again, I grew up with it, I thought, okay, this is kind of normal. You know, this was normal. So when I later applied for school, I applied at American University after I came down to D.C., and I was here for a while. And I remember writing my essay to get in, and I had to give my life experience. So I wrote this essay, and I shared it with my mother. And in there it said, I grew up and, you know, we were a middle-class family. And my mother was like, no, we weren't. And I said, yes, we were. Because to me, you know, we were eating. My friends didn't eat quail and duck and venison, and my friends most of my friends didn't have a pool. I had a couple of friends, maybe two friends that had a pool. You know, a stand-up pool, not a built-in pool. So, you know, I didn't know. I thought that we were middle class because, to me, we lived the middle class life. My mom worked because she wanted to, but really my mother knew how to budget, and she corrected me. But I said, well, we're middle class, and I'm sticking with the story. But
that's right. That's your story. You tell it the way you want to.
You know, I mean, no one in my maybe one friend that was African-American had a house with a fireplace. You know, we had a fireplace built in. Just little things that, to me, you know, constitute a middle class. When you look on TV, you see the Brady Bunch, they had a fireplace. It was like, I have a fireplace.
You know, somebody had
a pool. Right. Somebody had a pool.
Middle
I said, I have a pool. Right.
That's right.
I said, we're middle class. My mom doesn't have to work. She wants to work. You know.
Hey, she chose to. She chooses to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, and it's amazing how adults look at things versus children.
Right.
And, you know, somebody, I forget where I was, and somebody was sharing a story about her childhood. Just 2 weeks ago when I was down in Baltimore.
Okay.
At that conference where we met. And I stayed at a friend of mine who I had not seen for 8 years.
Okay.
And that lady, she wakes up every morning and her kids eat a hot breakfast before they go to school. Not cereal, hot full course breakfast.
Yeah.
And she said to me that there was one day in class that the teacher asked the kids, you know, to discuss personal life and their breakfast. And then her son mentioned about having waffles and fruits and all of that, fresh fruits on the waffles with eggs and everything. And the teacher asked the boy, what brand? And he says, oh, I don't know. My mom makes it fresh. I just go out and see her with the butter and she poured it. And the teacher said to him, yeah, right, your mother make you fresh waffles before you came to school. And she couldn't understand that the boy was not making up stories.
Wow.
That is what his mother does every day.
Right.
And on top of that, those kids take a full course lunch to school. And they are not in kindergarten. They are in high school. One is getting ready to go to college.
Wonderful.
But she said to me, Daphne, my kids eat.
Right.
And I said, well, that's why they learn, because you make sure they are getting good sustenance inside of their bodies. And that's one of the things we need to understand about our children now. we need to be sure to feed them right, because that is what enhanced their learning.
Exactly, and that's so true and so helpful. I mean, my mother, when she did start going to work, you know, we had to adjust, and she wasn't cooking breakfast before we left and making sure, so that was our responsibility. But I have a and you know, and we ate breakfast even if we had to eat it on the way. We ate breakfast. You know, my father mm-hmm. would say, did you get something to eat? If we hit the door and didn't have something in our hand and he knew we were rushing and mm-hmm. we weren't in the kitchen more than 2 minutes, mm-hmm. he would always ask. And I don't care if it was oatmeal or if it was a quick, you know, eggs and, mm-hmm. and grits and toast.
Something.
You ate. Yeah, you
yes.
ate before you left. Mm-hmm. And I have a girlfriend whom her sister passed away, so she's raising her nephews, and she cooks that hot meal every single morning. When I had surgery, I recovered at her house, and mm-hmm. every morning, I kid you, by 7:30, I had my breakfast in the morning.
My
breakfast was in my hand, and by 8 o'clock, she was coming to get it, and that was it. And, I mean, full breakfast, fruit, wheat
mm-hmm.
toast,
mm-hmm.
eggs, and she got egg beaters for me because that's what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey bacon, you know, she made
yes.
sure, and she said, what do you eat? And I told her, and she got everything I ate, and she made sure I had everything. There were times she had fresh squeezed juice, just, you know, and I look at her, I said, I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do it.
But it's part of her, you know.
It's part of her because her mom did that, and when her mom started having to travel further to work, that means that the girls got up earlier and they cooked breakfast and they sat down and ate before school. And it's a good habit.
I think we need to get back into this practice in our lives. We
right.
need to devote the time to that, because how often do we hear that breakfast is the most important meal?
You don't even hear it anymore. Remember, you used to hear the commercials, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even there anymore. And you used to have all of the, you know, the commercials with a well-balanced meal, and you just don't see it anymore. You really, mm-hmm. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it on TV. I really don't see it in magazines. I see yogurt bars and
mm-hmm.
fruit bars, you know, something quick to run out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the ingredients of that stuff, it's not
Take
healthy.
Your time to read that thing, because
yes.
That's what happened. We just toughen our kids with those things, and then next thing we join in the long line at the pharmacy because they are being diagnosed with this and that and the other stuff. And God knows all we need to do is to change their eating habits and patterns, because
right.
if we start feeding these children right, they are not going to be having any of those challenges that they are
right.
faced with, because we know that is the additives and the preservatives that
right.
they are reacting to. So why aren't we committing to these young people so that we feed them right? And, oh, my God, we know that this is going to be a show for another time, because
yeah.
we as adults need to start taking care of ourselves. So we are not even going to continue that. Oh, because we can talk for 6 years on this topic without even hanging up, you know. So, we want to fast forward. You grew up in New Jersey, and then you went down to the big city, to D.C.
Yes.
What made you do that?
Oh, so, what made me do that? Well, a couple of things. I wanted to go to school. I had I love to learn. I'm a big time reader, and I wanted to go to college. And my father said that he had saved up money, and I found out the money wasn't there, so I had to go to a plan B. So I went to
mm-hmm.
school for a little while in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and then I said, I need to move. I need to make a shift. I need to make a change, because I felt like I was going to get stuck. So instead of waiting to see if I was going to get stuck, I started to look around, and I looked at Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. I looked at New York, and I looked at Washington, D.C. And I looked to see where I could drop out of the sky, make a comfortable living, not give up the little bit of lifestyle that I had built for myself in my early 20s, and, you know, where I could always get back, you know, if there was an emergency at home. So I looked, and Washington was it. At the time, I was also dating someone, and we were engaged the April before I left. I came down in August. And so I moved down to Washington and stayed with his family, which was short-lived. I left and broke off the engagement in November, and then the real adventure began. So I was in Washington, D.C. I had a cousin in the area who I still have not seen the whole time I've been here, and I've been here 18 years now. And
oh, yeah, we're going to have to send you on a field trip to find your cousin.
I know where she is. I know where she works. We just cannot get together.
Oh, my God.
Baby, it's okay. Everything ain't for everybody. It's okay. It's fine. No,
I'm going to trust that judgment on that.
Trust me. I was down here by myself, and I learned how to do everything by myself. And, you know, the city is different from this town where everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew my father. You know, I never got tickets because I would just say, I'm so-and-so's daughter, and I pretty much got away with everything, yo. So, you know, and I was part of a large family, so everybody knew us. And I'm down in this city, and I learned my mother was scared, and I said, when I am homeless and I live in my car and I can't prepare for work, I'll come home. Outside of that, I'll tough it out, and that's what I did. And there were times I lived without a phone. I lived in places that were roach-infested, that I had to keep my clothes tied up, which it was so gross. I used to sleep like in a cocoon, so nothing would crawl on me because I was so scared. I don't like bugs, so anything that crawls on me, I'm like, oh, I freak out. And I there were places that weren't the best, but I had really good bosses. God sent me really good people. Even sometimes people were living suspect or questionable lifestyles, and he always sent somebody to make sure that I wasn't really alone.
Right.
If I needed to borrow money, for a bill, I didn't have to worry my mother. I had these wonderful people that, and they just may have been there for a season, a lifetime.
That's right.
And it was great. And when I look back on it, I'm just like, wow, something could have happened to me. But people knew, I was here going to school, and they sensed that I wasn't a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here and, went to school. I worked a lot of temp jobs, went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, she bugged me to find a full-time job because that was her era. You find a full-time job and you put your money away and all that. And did that for a while and then came upon an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I start, working in a field dealing with proposals where I help companies win government contracts.
Wow.
And started my own company instead of finishing school.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
During that process, we started way back when, from the beginning. That's where we started.
Right.
And we are not just doing this to blow time, because we want people to understand that when you encounter someone, you need to understand their journey and where they came from. So you know that there are lots of people who tell the beginning and they tell and they never tell the middle. And
right.
as we go through your journey, and you just mentioned about tying up your clothes, not liking bugs and all of that stuff, would you say that during this process, even when you did not fully have clarity on what your vision and purpose was, that deep down in the core of your spirit, that your vision for life was what held you so focused?
Yes, and there's two parts to that.
Yes.
I had a vision for me, and then I had a vision of a purpose that I wanted for my mother. So I'm going to put a bookmark and I'm
one. Yes, let's go with the one for mom, and then we'll go to the one for you.
Exactly, because it really is in that order. It really is. So I have to step back and go back to New Jersey for a moment.
Yes.
So I was 13 years old when my oldest nephew was born, who is now 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13. My sister was pregnant, and she graduated in June. She had my nephew in October.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, in school and then out of school, and the life that I know my parents wanted for her was not happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was a constant learner. A rainy day for me meant great. I could stay in all weekend and I could read a book. And, you know, I had goals. I said, okay, I'm going to read this 100-page book in one weekend. And then it got to a 200-page book. And from sun up to sundown, I would do all my housework on Friday. And Saturday, I'd make breakfast. And I would eat in the dining room and read. And then I'd find another place to read until lunch and things like that. And in the wintertime, it was great because I'd have a fire going and I'd read. And we had a huge bay window in the living room. And I would read by the bay window and the fire would be going. And life was good. I'd make hot chocolate. I mean, I was living the life.
That's right.
Living the life. So I made, you know, I made it comfortable for me with what we had. And I loved to learn, and I said, I'm going to go to school. I did not want to have a baby. I wanted to, then, before people were like, oh, women's lib, and it's all about my career, that's what I wanted to do. I said, I want to establish myself, and if I get married, I don't want to have children until I reached a certain level so that when I go back to the workforce, I can make a certain amount of money. So while I was going to school, I mean, while I was trying to go to school after high school, you know, I was looking for financial aid and things like that. And I did take classes my senior year of high school versus being on Honor Society. I'm a pretty unorthodox person, so if there's another way to do things outside of the rules, and if it's going to make the same or a bigger impact, I'm going to do it. So I took college classes while I was in high school, and I paid for them because I was working since I was 14 years old. And not because I had to, because I wanted my own spending money.
Right.
And, you know, mom and dad were having relationship issues, and, you know, money wasn't where it was supposed to be. So I worked, and so I had my own spending money. And when it was time to look for financial aid, I was doing all this stuff, so I had a problem because they would look at my parents' income, but I knew my father wasn't going to contribute, and my parents lived together. We all lived in the same house, and I needed to make sure that I could do it myself. That was very important to me because I didn't want to start something, depend on somebody, and fail, so that was huge. So my father was a Negro ball player. He played for the Kansas City Monarchs. So there were special, at the time, they were just starting special scholarships for children of Negro ball players, and he would not give me his contract. And I just need to take it somewhere, get a copy, get it notarized so that I can send it out. So I was, you know, I needed like a dozen copies. So I was just going to take it somewhere, copy it, get it notarized, which I was going to pay for, and all that, and he would not let me have it. So I said, fine, plan B. But my thing is, that's okay. So I went to a little word processing school at home, and then when I came to Washington, I still had the thought of, I have to be successful, but I wanted my mother to be able to brag about somebody, and I wanted her to be proud of me. So a lot of things that I've done from 14 until, what, a few years ago, that I kept that was always in the back of my mind. From the time I was, from when my nephew was born, from 13 until I was about 25, but definitely 13 to 19, I did everything I did. I didn't have children, but everything I did, I always was like, I need to make sure that what I do, I can explain to my older nephew. I had to do that. If I, you know, I had opportunities to do things and possibly get into trouble and all this stuff, but I just said no because I have to explain why I did that.
My God.
He had enough of the bed. You know, his father wasn't around a lot, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so me and my mom were like mom, you know, we were grandma, aunt, and then we were also dad sometimes.
Mm.
And I had to make sure that I could explain whatever I did to him. That was really important. But then I had to make sure that I did things that made my mom proud. At one time I told her, she was 65, around 6 years. She was about 65. And she'll be 70, 4th of July. And I said, we were talking about something. I can't even remember what the topic was. But I remember telling her, I want to make sure. I was going to do something for her. That's what it was. And she said, why do you want to do it? And I said, because. I said, you're getting old. I said, and when you're at work, you need somebody to brag about. Because she would tell me about some of the things her friends would say. And I said, and I want to make sure you're proud of me so you have something to talk and brag about too.
I said,
you and Daddy are divorced. You know, there are some people that maybe they had alimony. You don't have that. And I want to make sure that you have something to brag about too. So she sits back and she's like, that's real nice. She's like, I've been proud of you. And I'm like,
I've
been proud of you for a long time. I mean, you went down to D.C. by yourself, and you stayed, and you created a business, and you have a, you know, you have friends, and you have a network, and you have extended family, and
you
go to church. She said you don't hang around crazy people. She was like, you're always doing things. She was like, you know, you're doing great. I've been proud of you. And I was just looking at her like all this time, you know, I've been like super focused and super anal, and she was already proud of me. So that was my one part. The other part, you know, was for me to be successful and sustainable and be able to do things that my friends that went their traditional route of schooling went. So the funny part is I was going to school part-time and working part-time because all of my money wasn't there, and then I came down here and went to school. And for a while, I got caught up in D.C. It's very easy to get caught up in the Jones issue, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and making sure that, oh, my God, I want to make sure, you know, I met Dr. Daphne. She has a Mercedes. Man, I need to work hard and get one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wonderful mentor whom I love and adore who passed away 5.5 years ago. And he said, Denise, he said, you're better than that, he said, because you live authentically. You live true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't ride around here on something that you can't afford, and you look good, but then you can't go anywhere. You can't go on vacation because you don't have any money, or you take your special $299 Caribbean trips, you know, during hurricane season. He said, you don't do that. He said, you live a good, authentic life. And that made me feel proud. And what my mother said made me feel proud. And now my nephews are seeing. I have two nephews, 18 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he'll be 21 next Friday. And they now see things. And they're like, wow, this is cool. And, you know, little things. And it's important now for me. They have different fathers. The older one, his father is not around. But, you know, he's a proper gentleman. You know, I made sure of that, especially. We had etiquette exercises when he was five, you know, even before he started kindergarten. He had etiquette exercises. The teacher said he just came up to me and extended his hand and shook my hand and said, hi, my name is Dontrell. What's your name? And I said,
My God.
Right.
He's going to make a great husband for somebody. But you know something, I want to interject here a quick minute.
Sure.
Is that how often do we hear tell people how we feel about them? And I think that is something we as a race don't do enough of. Because all these years, your mama has been so proud of you.
I had no clue.
And I'm sure she told other people outside, but she forgot to tell you.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't a forgot thing. We were not a family. We were not the I love you, hug, kiss family.
Mm-hmm.
My dad wasn't a public display of affection type of person in front of us. Though I saw my dad kiss my mom when my mom was in the hospital after she had surgery, and he said bye to her, and he kissed her. And, like, I'd never seen my parents kiss before.
Wow.
So, you know, we weren't this okay, hug and go to bed. Maybe we were as little kids, but I don't remember that. So we weren't that. So sometimes, you know, the few times like I've hugged my dad, it felt awkward because that wasn't something that we normally did. Now, if I brought home a good report card, my dad would say, that's real good. I want you to get that grade up, but that's a really good report card. And he would smile, and I knew that he was proud. But it's funny because he and I had tiffs, and we just started talking a couple of years ago. And he would tell other people what I was doing, because he would hear from my nephews and my sister what I was doing in Washington, and he would hear things, and now my friend tells him, you know, a lot of stuff, and he's like, oh, that's good, you know, but I was never one to brag about, hey, I'm doing this. I'm very behind the scenes, so if someone finds out something great, and like you told me, you know, tell my story, I have it to tell. So when I started writing, I would write little biographies, and when I start writing biographies for events that I've been speaking at over the past year for my environmental and my green initiatives, you know, there were some people that knew me, and they said, well, why didn't you put that in there? Well, that's powerful. And I thought it was, hey, just professionals. They're like, no, you got to tell your story, honey. You got to tell your story. So that's what I would do. And, you know, it – some people knew and some people didn't. And I mean, I have some impressive things that have happened in my family that I'm very proud of. Again, growing up, it's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I mean, that's kind of normal, isn't it? And really it's not. So
yeah,
it's
isn't that
pretty amazing.
You know, Denise, there is so much of my story intertwined with yours because I spend my time living my life as an example, and I think it was last night you and I, we were having that conversation.
Yeah.
I don't spend time talking about all the other stuff, the frills and the bells and the whistles, because my belief is that my life is supposed to tell that story, and it a lot of people don't see it that way. But I still feel deep down that when we allow our life to tell the story, it has a greater impact. And it opens up doors for conversation, for people to learn. Because the authenticity of our story is what attracts people.
Right.
I honestly and truly don't think it's the frills and the bells and the whistle, because people are listening to this story now, and they are listening from you started in New Jersey to where you are now, and we are going to be moving in a few minutes, moving into the new passion that you have found and really impacting the world with that. But people can understand and say, if L. Denise Jackson can do that, I have no excuse.
Right, and you know what? And there's that. It's that motivation that, hey, you know, there were setbacks, and things did not go all the time like I wanted. I mean, I was ready to go to school full time. I was ready to go to Spelman. I busted my tail. I was getting the grades. Mm-hmm. You know, my junior year of high school, I took not one science class, but I took two. I took chemistry and a college-level physics at the same time. So I did all these things. And they said, you can be an honor society. I said, no, you guys just get a bunch of work. I want to show them, you know, how much of a weight I can do. Anybody can read and do extra homework. I don't want that, you know. So I did all this stuff. And then the rug was pulled out when I found out there was no money for school.
Yes.
But that didn't stop me. I said, okay, I'm going to plan B. I'm going to take college classes in my senior year, and I'm going to work, and that's what I did. And, you know, then there's a healing part, because there were different pains that I came through that will be an autobiography I'm writing about me and my father. And, you know, there were pains, but at some point you got to release it, you know. And
there were
growing pains. There's healing in the story. I mean, and I'm talking, I'm not talking about a year or two. I'm talking about 10, 20 years, you know, but there's healing in the story.
Growing pains.
Sometimes you have to let it go. And I don't care if the other person does not say anything, does not admit they're wrong, does not apologize.
No, you do it for you. You have
you
to do
it
for you.
For
the
you.
Next person is responsible for themselves. And this is what
right.
we need to understand. We are our responsibility. A lot of people spend hours, months, and years
right.
working diligently to change somebody else. No, no, no. You have it backwards. Work
yep.
on yourself.
Work heal, on yourself.
Heal yourself.
Yep.
And your job is completed. So we are at 10:44. That's where we at. Let us move into the part of the vision that had to do with you.
Okay. And I wanted to, well, I can pair over because there's one important thing I wanted to
please,
share.
Go ahead.
Okay, and not everybody may not get it because everybody may not be in this place, and I understand
right.
that.
That's
but
okay.
there was another thing that the healing part. Me and my father had some torrid times. I mean,
mm-hmm.
torrid. And for we probably didn't speak for 15 years, basically. But there was a point before that that I was called to ministry, and I couldn't get past a certain point spiritually. I couldn't, you know, I was doing okay. I was doing okay at work, but there was another level, and I was just hitting that glass ceiling, and I was bumping my head so much. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And God said, forgive your father.
Woo!
And I'm just like, no, God,
what?
You're crazy. I'm not forgiving him. that was my response. I'm like, oh, no, you're crazy. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to call me. I'm not, no, oh, no, I'm
mm-hmm.
not doing it. And that went on for a couple of months. And he was trying to show me a couple of things. Number one, forgive him because subconsciously there was some weight being carried around
mm-hmm.
in how I dealt with some people, but also it was just some bad energy about
mm-hmm.
you know what
mm-hmm.
I was carrying around and
mm-hmm.
the things that were done and said and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger part to that was taking me to another level of maturity, which I didn't understand at the time,
mm-hmm.
but taking me to a different level of maturity and understanding that certain things you got to let go because, like you said, you can't change that.
That's right.
You can't change that. And I wanted to point that out because there are times and I have a wonderful friend, Cynthia. I so can't wait till she gets her program going because she talks about these things, about pain points. And
mm-hmm.
what is that thing that's keeping you? Is it weight? Is it my apology to Dr. Daphne from something
mm-hmm.
from 20 years ago? What is it? You may not think about it every day,
mm-hmm.
but it comes up, and it's still hurtful, and it's still painful. And
yes.
what I did, my father and I didn't talk. I wrote him a letter.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it home to my pastor buddy back home,
mm-hmm.
who he saw every day at the 7-Eleven for coffee. And really, they always ran into each other at 7-Eleven. So I sent him the letter, and I put it in a sealed envelope, and I put it in another envelope, but I put a message saying, can you pass this to my dad by Father's Day? And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And my father never called. Until this day, he's never said he was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
However,
that's all right.
Again, right, but however,
mm-hmm.
he has a hard time doing that.
Right.
And I know that. But you know,
I hope he do it before he transition home.
I hope so too.
Yes.
And you know, he will say, you know, he's proud of me, and my sister had a stroke last May, so I'm taking care of her affairs. So he said thank you for that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of his way, but you know,
yeah.
I know what
yeah.
the word says, and you have to say, you know, you have to say what you have to say. I'm not sitting around
exactly.
waiting for it.
That's
I'm moving
right.
on. But I cleared myself because you have
mm-hmm.
to be accountable for you. That's how you get healthy. And in business, I don't care what business
right.
it is,
that's
in
right.
business to be sustainable and to be healthy, you
mm-hmm.
have to make sure that you're accountable and that you can say, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You can say,
because
I was wrong. You know,
exactly.
you have to do that.
If we don't do that, we are only hindering our progress
mm-hmm.
and our success. Because
exactly.
you sit around waiting on the next person. And God has a plan for you to do, but why are you messing up the plan by not following through? You got to take action.
Get out of your own way.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the bottom line. You know, and this is why I am so excited about the Vision Conference, because this is what we're going to show people, that it's not the neighbor getting in your way. It's not the government. It's not your boss. It's you. You've been blocking your way every angle you turn.
Yep.
And the buck stops here. What you plan to do about it. You know? So people are going to be so refreshed and revived that they come there to understand, oh my God, I can't believe I've been doing this to myself for 35 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to remind you, I'm in conversation with L. Denise Jackson, and she is the founder of the Professional Green Network, which we are going to be segueing into momentarily. But we want to hear about what part of the vision, as she was on this journey, this magnificent journey. And you heard her so eloquently mentioned about, she was not on a selfish journey. She had vision not only for herself, but for her mom. And how many of us can really say that in our stories, that it was not only about us, but it was really about someone else? So the number to call is 646-915-8166. And join the conversation with L. Denise Jackson and myself. Continue, Madam Green.
So, I like that, actually. I like Madam Green. So, I was in school, and then I started my own company, so I did not, I didn't go to school anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was learning my industry, which was proposals, and had some people working for me. I was doing pretty well for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And success was coming. You know, I worked for myself. I traveled. You know, my hideaway spot is Hawaii. I feel very at home there. And
make sure you get a chaperone when you're going next. You
need
a chaperone. You cannot go by yourself.
Dr. Daphne, you will be my chaperone on my next trip. So, you know, like people would go to the Caribbean or Cancun, I would jump up and just say, you know what, next Wednesday I think I'm going to go to Hawaii and stay for about 10 days. And sometime I would extend my stay. So that's, my life was, you know, was good. It still is good. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I had reached that pinnacle for me, being, you know, early 30s. I was doing this before I was 35.
Wow.
I did Hawaii once or twice a year. That was my hideout. My mother would get a call. I was on my way to the airport. I'm like, Mommy, I'm going to Hawaii. I'll see you in a, you know, I'll call you when I land, and I'll see you guys when I get back. Even though she lives in Jersey, I lived in D.C., but I, you know, just said, hey, I'm going away.
Nice.
So, was reaching success, and here I am approaching my 40s. And I'm over 35, and I said, I need to be healthier. I know I don't exercise. I know I don't eat everything I should. I did eat pretty okay, but mm-hmm. I didn't eat everything that I should. So I met a doctor, Dr. Andrea Sullivan, whom I love and adore, and I met her at a conference that I go to every year, and it's an invitation-only conference, so it's, you know, some of the baddest women that run the baddest companies in the country, whether they built them from the ground up or whether they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her, and that particular year, I was very, normally I'd be very on guard, and I'm like, okay, it's showtime, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have to make sure that I represented myself properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that year I was just really comfortable, and my mother came with me that first year. That was her first year that she came with me,
mm-hmm.
and I was really confident and cool. And
mm-hmm.
I was in one of her workshops, and I had to slip out because I wanted to go to another workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my girlfriend were kind of tag teaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her coming down the hall, and I was just walking, and I said, Dr. Sullivan. She said, yes. I said, I'm going to call you when I get back to D.C. I need to get healthy. I need to get right. You're the one to do it. And she said, okay. She said, what's your name? I said, L. Denise Jackson. And I'm walking towards her. I don't stop. I turn around and I start walking backwards. I mean, that's the comfort and confidence level that I had. And I said, but I am going to call you. I said, I'm not going to take up your time right now, and I have to run,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to call you. So when I got back to D.C., I called her. Actually, when I landed, I called her. I said, I need to make an appointment. Made the appointment. That was 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with her ever since. Now, I still go to my regular general physician,
mm-hmm.
but he believes in holistic health, so she's mm-hmm. a naturopath physician,
mm-hmm.
and I go to her as well, so
mm-hmm.
I have them share information.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a health condition, and
mm-hmm.
I was had a few, you know, breast lumps that were benign, and then I found a lump. While we were looking for one thing, found something
mm-hmm.
else, and it was a cancerous tumor
mm-hmm.
that was near my intestine.
Mm.
And I had a session with her, and you know, in a couple of weeks, and I kind of didn't know what to do. And we talked, and I was in touch with another naturopath out of New Jersey, just in case I had to go home
mm-hmm.
For a while.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, had another naturopath, and as she was helping me get healthy, period, just
mm-hmm.
overall,
mm-hmm.
now I had this other issue, and I didn't want, I knew I had to get some chemo and some radiation, but I didn't want as much. I know what it does to the body.
Mm-hmm.
I know the irreparable damage that it does,
mm-hmm.
and I was really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had not been with her, and I'm not saying that a naturopath, for some people it works, and people don't go to a general physician or an oncologist,
mm-hmm.
and for other people it does not. So I'm not going to get into that. But
exactly.
One thing I will, right, and I won't do that to anybody because I don't want somebody to take a long shot and lose.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is that had I not gone to her and knew how to take and had known how to take care of my body, if I had not learned that,
mm-hmm.
I probably would not have won because a general physician is not going to tell you the things to do in the holistic manner that a naturopath.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. I was blessed with a wonderful doctor who I came to him a year after he started his practice here in Maryland. He's from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with him before he married his wife, through all of the kids, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been with him for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust him. He trusts me. He's talked to my previous doctor, who has since passed away, back home in New Jersey, who I was with for 10, 15 years. So, you know, we have a good, strong relationship,
mm-hmm.
and he trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, I'm not going to do anything that's going to get you in trouble or, you know, or cause more
mm-hmm.
pain for me. But he understood. So if I said, yeah, I'm eating such and such with flax, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most general physicians may tell you something that they read out of a book. You know, they say, yeah, steam some vegetables and eat some more raw fruit. But
mm-hmm.
they're not going to tell you to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
mm-hmm.
going to tell you that. They're
That's
not
going right.
to tell you which foods to eat according to your blood type, which
mm-hmm.
is a regimen that works for me. It doesn't work
mm-hmm.
for everybody, but
That's
it works
right.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Supplements that are given to me according to my blood type, it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So a general physician is not going to do that. So I was very ingrained in, I knew how to take care of my body. I knew what to do. I knew how to handle me. If I was traveling, I knew what to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody to call to say, hey, I have this crazy skin something. And she would say,
mm-hmm.
go get X oil, put it
mm-hmm.
on your skin, do whatever. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that access, and, you know, she's responded to me on her day off, and the times I'm screaming, like, help, call me back as soon as possible. You know, she's called me on the weekend. She's done the rare, hey, doctor, I have a friend, Dr. Daphne, and, you know, her child is ill. Is there
mm-hmm.
something we can do because the medicine's not working?
Right.
And I would pay her, you know, but I,
yes.
you know. But
the
but
relationship.
For her, yeah,
you know,
but the relationship was big.
Mm-hmm. What I hear you saying, it's about the relationship. And we as entrepreneurs, we need all these different relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because our lives, our businesses, our careers, is not a one-size-fits-all.
Oh,
so
no,
we,
absolutely not.
We have to get all the relationships that will enhance what we are doing. So
yes.
I'm telling the listeners, those that are listening live and those that will listen later, these conversations that we're having here is part of the legacy to educate, inspire, and empower you, our listeners, because we believe in wealth in totality. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a good health, you're not going to become financially wealthy.
This is true.
No, and this is why we are having these conversations. So it's not going to be too late for you. We are all going to be getting it together. So
yes.
Just to remind the listeners, I am in conversation with L. Denise Jackson. And L. Denise Jackson is the founder of the Professional Green Network. So we are at 11, so we are halfway to the mark. So now we saw you look about Mama. You found Mama was very proud of you. Even Daddy, who is not speaking, he's still proud of you. But he's allowing the ego to get in the way. But you know what I'm extremely proud of through all of what you have said? Is that you're not letting that stop you from continuing the journey that God has put you on. You understand the importance of carrying out Father's job, that the assignment that he has given you. You said, you know, I got to get busy regardless of what's happening between my father and I. I need to mend and heal myself so I can do what God has called me to do. And that speaks volume about who you are, not only as a professional, but as a person. And I want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
So, now you mentioned about what with your mom and what the health struggles you went through. And, you know, what part of all of this did your vision play in that? We want to talk about the vision for you and all of that. And regardless of the hindrance that you were hit with, it never deter you.
The vision just had me focused and on fire. My fire never went out.
Mm.
There were times I said, you know, I know that this is a setback, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do it.
Mm.
I'm going to do it. 2 days ago, I got a diagnosis that I have another lump.
mm.
And it's malignant.
Mm.
And I sat and cried for a minute, and the doctor said, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I'm tired of it because it's getting in the way of my life.
My God.
It's getting in the way of my life. I told him, I said, I have things to do.
That's right.
You know,
legacy
to
create.
Exactly. I had an attitude, and that was one thing with my nephews. I mean, I'd make them, there's certain calls I make them listen to. You know, during the Obama mm-hmm. campaign, I made them, you know, watch everything. I'm like, you need to learn. Nobody needs to
That's
put a
right.
camera in front of you 30, 40 years from now, and you say you don't know and you don't have an opinion. That's unacceptable.
That's
and
right.
And I told the doctor, I said, I have things to do. I have a life to live. I have a business to start. I have a legacy to create to leave
That's
so
right.
that my nephews don't have to start from scratch. Matter of fact, they're going to
right.
start working with me this summer, whether they like it or not. And
That's
I said,
right.
I have things to do, and these treatments are going to get in my way. So I said, I need the shortest, less disruptive way to deal with this. And he just,
That's
like, looked at me, and he said, wow. And he said, you know, we've had these conversations, and you're just mad. I said, yes, I'm mad. I said, yeah,
That's
I
right.
didn't do everything I was supposed to do, and I didn't exercise, and I'll eat that. That's my
mm-hmm.
fault.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I'm tired of it, so we need to create a plan. I said, so let's talk. And then he said, and I know you're going to get a second opinion. I said, yes, because
that's
just
right.
me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, but they know me. And they said, yeah,
that's, right.
that's just me. I said, and I'm going home anyway, so I have some people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's getting in the way of my life. So my vision is it's going to happen
mm-hmm.
anyway.
That's right.
And right now, I hate to say, my vision is going in directions I didn't expect.
That's right.
So I'm having to get super prepared. So while my vision is moving along, I have to go full throttle to get in front of it to prepare for,
right,
you know, for the bigger picture and what's down the road around the valley, you know, in the bend.
And build a bigger team that believes in the vision, because, you know, they just need to understand what it's all about, because it just cannot be dependent on you as a person.
No, absolutely not.
Because anything happens, you are not here, and what happens? The dream dies. So we cannot be selfish.
Right.
We can't be selfish. And you know, I'm excited that you are mad with the devil for wanting to get in your way, because he know you ain't playing games. So
right,
get out of my life. And that's what it's all about. We
right.
are super excited that God is still in the business of healing and
right.
creating miracles. Because you know, you're working through the professionals, and rightfully so. But we know who the true healer is.
Right. And I mean, I was, you know, a little derailed. You know, last year, my sister had her stroke. I was going to launch last year. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep learning and developing. And that was, and that's what I did. And I still, people were coming to me saying, you know, I saw this website, or, hey, didn't you say you were starting this? You know, we need somebody to come in and talk to us. So I was getting things without even advertising, which was great.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, I'm like, now is the time. You know, I'm waiting for something, for a surgery for my sister, and then this comes up. I'm like, you know what, I'm moving forward, and it's just going to have to be worked around. It's part of life, and
that's
it. So things are still going to move forward. If it's a slight delay, that's all it is a slight delay.
That's right.
And, you know, this summer, as I develop things, yeah, my nephews are going to be involved so that they know what to do, how to protect my intellectual property, how
that's
to make
right.
sure, you know, our namesake is still intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be involved
right.
in knowing how to carry on. So if something happens to me, it's still business as usual.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's still business
you know?
As usual.
And
I mean, that's one of the things I want to share with the people. You know, with it's there's green business aspects I teach, and then there's other healthy aspects that have to be taught as well. And a lot of, you know, I know we're going to get into this later, a lot of conferences don't teach the wholeness, but there is a wholeness to it. Dr. Daphne, did we lose you?
No. I'm still here. You know, the technology is a liar. Sometimes the technology gets into this, but, you
that
know.
That just means we're on to something good, that's all.
You know, people need to understand. You know, Denise, I am so respectful of you sharing all of this, because there is somebody out there in this world that needed to hear this this morning, to know that when we are on this vision journey, there are no microwave results, because the more we stay focused on it, is the more the negativity is going to try to attack us. And we need to know when it is just negativity and know how to work around it. And just take that negativity, dissect it, and find out what is the lesson we learn in here. So
right.
you know what's going on, and when you say, well, now it's time to pull my nephews in. Maybe I was thinking to pull them in 2 years down the road, but now we're yep. going to pull them in 6 months down the road.
Yep.
So you are flexible. But you are not allowing this to derail you in any way, sir.
Yeah.
I commend you. You will be in my prayers, honey. We're going to be praying for you.
Thank you.
We are going to fight this thing together as
a team.
We will be praying for you, because God is in the miracle working business.
Yeah, I mean, God is good. And, when you're close to something, because, you know, it's all these obstacles and blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been here before. This isn't the first time I've been here. I've been here before, and it's just seeming to be a bigger block. And I'm just like, no. So I had, you know, a day and a half of a not-so-great day. And after that, everything just kind of cleared up. My headache was gone. I'm just like, come on, let's get it on. It's time,
to
do this.
Yeah, because the enemy realized, my God, what am I going to, I can't do nothing that face this woman. I can't do nothing. I'm trying, but I can't face her. And that's why I'm happy you get angry, and he knows that he's under your feet. You know, are we not going to give in any more accolade? Because that's where he is, under your feet. You trample on him, and he's flat out. And that's where he's going to belong.
Right.
So, the Professional Green Network. And now I fully understand. And I know as our relationship grows, there's still more I will learn. Now I truly understand why you are so passionate in a healthy alternative lifestyle. Because I tell you, Denise, the first time I encountered you was when you were in conversation on Deborah Hardnett's show.
Okay.
And then I was so blessed to be at a conference that you were one of the featured speakers.
Yes.
And I understood sitting, even when I listened to you on the radio, I said, this is not just a business for this lady. And then again, when I was at that conference, not only was I listening to you, but I was there in your presence, looking at you and listening to what you were teaching. And I said, this is a purpose and a calling for this lady. And I'm thinking, I wonder if she knows that. Because you weren't just there presenting a slide. You were speaking from your soul. And now I see why. So let us go into the organization, the Professional Green Network. What is it? Why did you found this organization and so on?
The Professional Green Network is an international training and education organization where we help individuals, businesses, from large corporations. I love my small businesses and my entrepreneurs because a lot of times they're the underserved community, but help them with their sustainability plan and their green initiatives. And, you know, on the personal end, also dip into helping them with the healthy lifestyles. And I'm not a holistic naturopath doctor or anything like that, but there are just certain things that, you know, that can be done so that the healthy people can have a healthy business. And, you know, it's part of a lifestyle change. It's just like a diet. It's not a diet. If it's a diet, it's not going to work. If it's a lifestyle change, that's something different. It has to be a positive habit that's adopted into your lifestyle and just becomes, you know, part of your everyday regimen.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what it is. That is the overview. So I speak to people individually.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to groups. I help companies, again, put together plans to help them. Sometimes they want me to come and help them with a committee and, you know, put together a group for them because they really don't know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I have
mm-hmm.
access to people that are on the, you know, the building and the facilities
mm-hmm.
end for the large corporations
mm-hmm.
that can help
mm-hmm.
people with that,
mm-hmm.
Green home inspectors,
mm-hmm.
you name it. I pretty much have access to it.
You know, we know you are going to be presenting at the Vision Conference, and we're not going to go into that aspect of what you do, but just to give us just a little tat, what
mm-hmm.
are a few things that we can do to start implementing a lifestyle change? Because, I mean, people who are not aware of this think that, oh, my God, that is too hard to do. Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. But the bottom line, it's not all that difficult. And to know that it's going to help us to expand the quality of our life, you know, what are some things that every family can start doing?
Something that every family can start doing. So everybody's getting ready for Easter. And I know that Easter, and don't get me wrong, I come from a family, you know, I like my meat and my gravy and my ham, and that's great. However, add some more fresh vegetables to your meal this year. Have, you know, juice instead of soda this year. Have more water this year. Certain things that you may your silverware and your plates and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them and check to see, you know, if they're recyclable. Get the ones that are recyclable or biodegradable. People say, well, where do I look for that? A lot of times those options are in your normal grocery store. Mm-hmm. If you have a Whole Foods, a Harris Teeter, Wegmans, that's a big place, some of your Sam's, BJ's, Costco's, they have them as well. Even silverware, and I'm talking about biodegradable, like once it goes into the trash, mm-hmm. in 30 days it basically totally breaks down. Mm-hmm. So that's something every day. You're going to go get paper products, toilet paper. When I go to CVS or to the grocery store, but normally I get certain paper products from CVS, mm-hmm. I get the toilet paper that is 100% recycled. Not recycled used, but it's recycled. Mm-hmm. So guess what? It flushes down your septic system, your mm-hmm. plumbing system a lot better. It breaks apart. It breaks apart, which is kind of cool to even see it. If you ever just put a piece in a glass and just sit it there, and
right.
you'll see it break apart over time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit there and watch it, but you'll see it. So
right.
those are easy things. Cereals that you buy for the children, yes, they can be more natural, less sugar. I'm a big oatmeal fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can dress that oatmeal up with walnuts and raisins. You don't have to put sugar. You can put some flavored honey, like a peach honey or
mm-hmm.
a honey blossom,
mm-hmm.
the whole honey with the honeycomb in it, you know, things like
mm-hmm.
that are very tasty.
What about some raisins? I just love raisins.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And banana on mine and blueberries.
Cranberry. Oh, blueberries. Cranberries.
Oh.
Mango, cantaloupe, melon. Heck, you can throw some grapes in there. Whatever your favorite stuff is,
mm-hmm.
by all means, eat it.
Make it yours.
Right. I mean, snack foods. Like I said, my sister had a stroke, so we were giving her snacks, and I was trying to be nice because I felt so bad that she's in a nursing facility. But guess what? We changed to nuts and dried fruit, and
mm-hmm.
those things are tasty as well. When
mm-hmm.
you go to, again, grocery shopping and get your vegetables, get fresh vegetables. I understand that sometimes with pesticides they do not work, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't keep, I'll say that. I was about to say they don't work as well, but they
That's
don't
right.
keep as well. Go
mm-hmm.
to your local farmer's market. Find out where that
Ooh.
Is. Support your local farmers, everybody.
That's right. That's
One
right.
thing I used to do when I first came here after like the second year, my thing to do was to go to the local flea market on Saturday or Sunday, and my little thing was I used to go on Sunday, right like an hour, 30 minutes before they closed, and hit the fruit guy or the vegetable truck
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they would give me extra deals because they didn't want to take all that stuff back,
mm-hmm.
and I would come home with fruit for 2 weeks. I still do
mm-hmm.
it. I still do it.
That's right.
I don't go when they first get there. I wait, and then I say, well, how much is that? And they're like, hey, I'll give it to you for whatever, and they
mm-hmm.
give me a better deal. So
mm-hmm.
go visit, you know, your local farmer's market. Just about every place has them, or a farm. Some farms that normally would ship things out, they are now selling things themselves because the market is so crazy. And then you have organic farmers that farm sustainably as well. So
I tell
you know, support
you,
them for your fruits and your vegetables, not just your fruits, but your vegetables too.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the blessings that we have here in Connecticut,
uh-huh.
And this was so strange to me when I moved from New York to Connecticut,
okay.
and going around and see the food stands,
yeah.
and then I'm standing there and I'm calling someone to collect my money, and then but you don't, it's on a credit merit. What happened?
Oh, it's on the honor system. Yay.
Yeah, they have the box there, and all you need to do is to serve yourself. And
yep.
put your payment in the cash box or the pan or something. And
right.
we get to go to the blueberry farm.
Yes.
Pick our own blueberries and your own apples and strawberries and everything. So I think it was 2 years ago that I visited someone and she served me this delicious cake.
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, Jenny, what is this?" She said, "Oh, that's zucchini blueberry
oh, yes.
bread."
That's
I
good
said,
stuff.
"Girl, please, you gotta give me that recipe." She gave me that recipe. I was at the blueberry farm picking blueberries,
yeah.
and I made that blueberry bread. Oh my heavens! I gave it to my girlfriend too. Oh, you are in heaven.
You had me sitting straight up. Isn't it good? I was laid back for a minute, but you start talking about that, and it's like picking blueberry. When I first moved here, I found out where all the farms were because we used to do that on Sunday. We used to go to dairy farms and get ice cream, but we used to go out to the blueberry farms, and that was a family activity to do. And then, you know, we could have our blueberry pancakes or whatever. And I called my friends, and I said, hey, Daphne, what you doing today? You want to go down to the blueberry farm and pick blueberries? They were like, pick what? And I'm like, pick blueberries. And they laughed at me, but we didn't really buy that much fruit out of the grocery store because we had the farms, you know?
Yeah, because it's the same thing in Jamaica. Even bananas.
Yeah.
The bananas, they're ripe, and we call it the bunch. So it's right there you go, and you pick one right off the bunch. It's right up there. And the oranges you pick. So when I came here to Connecticut, I was so happy. We can go to the farm and we can get anything that we want. I know this family. They have a farm where they raise goats. And she make all the products, the skin products and everything sometimes. She drops me off fresh goat's milk and all of that. I sent her an email the other day. I said, Lisa, I haven't had any goat milk in a long time because I'm the child of a farmer.
Right.
My father, I used to go with my father to milk the cows and everything. And so I understand fresh. And growing up, I didn't understand that was what organic was. But
I
go and educate myself. I said, girl, you had it good. You grew up on organic.
And no pesticides. The farm that was near our house where we used to get collard greens and mustard greens and turnip greens and string beans and cabbage and peas and carrots and corn. Well, there was another place we used to get corn. But, I remember shelling peas and snapping string beans, and they were fresh. You had one price if you paid just to pick it up. You had another price if you went and picked it yourself. And, people don't do that anymore. And I'm like, you want something that's real fresh? Go out and pick your own and cut your own collard greens.
Because a lot of people, even adults, they never had these experiences because I have a conversation with adults. They have never seen an orange tree. They don't know what a papaya tree looks like.
Right.
They only know it in the stores. They don't know what a fruit looks like on a tree unless they see the picture in a book.
Exactly.
You know.
I remember I went to California and saw my first grapevine, and I was just so excited. I took all these pictures. I took like 6 pictures of a grapevine and an orange tree because we didn't have orange trees. We had all the other trees. We had apple and peach and pear trees and stuff like that. But we didn't have I'd never seen an orange tree. And, you know, I knew what it looked like, but I was just like, oh, is that orange? The yard had one had an orange tree and one had a lemon tree, but there was this beautiful grapevine that was along the fence. I said, what is that? And this man said, oh, that's a grapevine. I'm like, really? And,
good.
You know, you see pictures, but it was so exciting to
yes,
know.
Yes, I've had the experience 20s. To watch it grow. My father planted it and harvested it. Oh, great. We have a question for you from the chat room.
Sure.
All right, here. Someone wants to know whether or not you have a wine connoisseur background. She thinks your paths have crossed a few years ago, and she says you are indeed a true professional. And she's just affirming something that I know.
Okay, well, I need to hear the first part of the question again.
Do you have a wine connoisseur background?
Yes,
okay, so indeed. She remembers you from way back when.
Well, yeah, no, but not that far back. That is within the last 7 years.
Yes,
I am a studying sommelier. Yes.
She just want to make sure you are indeed the person. So.
Yes, I am. Hello, whoever you are, we must reconnect.
Yes. Yes.
And yes, I'm studying a lot of organic wines and connecting with a lot of organic distributors for events. You know, people ask me for, you know, about, hey, I'm putting together a menu. Can you help me? And I'm doing a lot of organic wines. Yeah, I just finished helping my pastry chef pair some wine and food. Yeah, in his book. So
wonderful. And there is someone else that wants you to. Let me read the question here.
Okay.
She wants you to. All right. She wants you to talk. Mention briefly about a few green products. And we know we're going to be doing all of that at the conference, and we need them at the conference, but just whet their appetite. They want to know about new green products. If you are prepared to go there, you don't have to if you don't.
No. A few green products that can be used for what? I guess I want to make sure I'm not throwing things out there that are
all right. Let me ask them.
Okay.
Green products.
I mean, because there are many green products out there. I just didn't know if you were talking about for.
All right, I am asking the person that question. So let's see what they say. I don't know whether they are talking about. I don't know if they are talking about cleaning products.
Right.
So
I mean, it could be makeup. There's thousands.
Okay. The person didn't answer yet.
Okay.
So let's just mention briefly about a few cleaning. They're still talking about the wine and the organic wine, girl. They better believe it's just breakfast time. So they are still conversing about the organic wine.
But the best time, the best time to taste your wine is when you haven't eaten anything. I hate to say that to get the real taste. But yeah, that's a whole nother call. That's a whole nother call.
Yes.
So to mention a few green or organic products. There's one.
Okay, hold on. The person answered. That's a few green products that we should know about. Okay, a few green products that they need to know about. So I guess you can give a little bit of both.
Okay, so the thing is I'm going to give a few multi-purpose items that are old and some that are old and have been around and people don't know. So. I want to talk about the ones that are proven and true. So there are things like Castile soap that is a multi-purpose soap. Did I hit something? Castile soap is a multi-purpose soap.
And
hair, body, face, it works for everything. So that's one thing. I'm a huge fan of olive oil for skin issues, for scalp, for face. In the wintertime, I will put some on my face and go to bed to make sure that my skin is moisturized. I'm really huge on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give things that I would like use on any given day. I mean, you know, of course, 100% shea butter and aloe vera, and we know about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Your own. Oh, I hate
somebody,
to say this.
There needs somebody in the chat room. Affirm that. Oh, I know Castile soap. She said, "Are you familiar with Lifebuoy soap?"
Yes.
And what's your take on that?
I don't use it. I don't use Lifebuoy. I use a lot of things that are – and actually, I don't use soap at all. Everything that I use for my body is all liquid. And I don't – like, I don't use – I shouldn't say that. I use a few bars, but I know that they're all natural because I know the ingredients that are in it.
Yeah.
But I don't use Lifebuoy. I use a lot of Castile. I create my own scents with it, stuff like that. I use soaps with olive oil in it.
Yeah, and I mentioned that because I grew up on Lifebuoy and Castile.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's someone in the chat room, Denise. She says, wow, I use olive oil and my scalp too.
Right, that is huge. A lot of times I will massage some olive oil scalp. Olive oil into my scalp, excuse me. I haven't gone totally green with my hair, so when I get my hair texturized, I do put that in because I do have sensitive skin. And I have a sensitive scalp, but yeah, I'm about to transition. It's a little rough, but I'm planning on transitioning to natural hair as well.
And I'm going to start the olive oil tonight on my scalp, y'all, because
right.
I have virgin olive oil at home, so I'll be joining the olive oil gang tonight.
Extra virgin olive oil is the best that I use. I also use Sometimes olive oil isn't good for everybody's skin, but I will use vitamin E in from the drop. And all this is liquid, a liquid vitamin E. It's great to take a vitamin E tablet for your skin and drink a ton of water, but I do use vitamin E sometimes on my skin, especially if I'm going to an event. I'll make sure to, you know, put it on my skin for a couple of days. It doesn't smell the greatest, but I use a type that I can ingest as well as put on my skin. So I do use
I
that
need
as
to
well.
Share something. There's a gentleman in the chat room who is a mechanic.
Okay.
And he's saying that he has found that wet dirt, mud, removes mm-hmm. grease from his hands.
Yes, and he is very true, and
yes.
it also will not leave your skin dry, and
yes.
depending
yes.
on the type of dirt, it will exfoliate. So he can
yes.
he can start his own line
oh,
for
man.
All the mechanics all over
that's
the world.
Right.
He should
that's
go do
right.
that. Yeah.
yeah, I'm telling him there, and that's good because I know I oftentimes I invest in these mud that you put over your body.
Exactly, and that's what
yes.
it's for.
Oh. Yes. Oh,
that's what
and
it's
you
for.
And you feel so good about it.
Exactly. Why does mud take out a bee sting? It's the same thing. It pulls things out of your skin. It pulls impurities and things that aren't supposed to be in your skin out. So if he wanted to soak his hands in mud,
that's
it's
right.
It's almost like a sugar scrub. If
that's
you
right.
if he soaked his hands in mud and then, you know, just rubbed them vigorously for like 10 minutes, his skin will be softer.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he could wash his hands and put a little olive oil on at night,
mm-hmm.
and he'll
he's
have the
going to be the only mechanic.
In the land.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be
point.
The only mechanic that have soft hands. So he better
yep.
hurry up and start the products before you and I start that line.
Right, and yeah, and he, I mean, that's his own manicure. He didn't have to tell his friends about it. If he wanted to soak his hands in some warm water first, that would help get the dirt from up under his fingernails and definitely
mm-hmm.
file your nails. Yeah.
Oh, isn't it amazing? There is so much that we can do. Oh, my heaven. Oh, he is too funny. He says, Denise, he says, a mud bath spa, new direction. Oh, yeah, so he better
there
get
you go.
All three of us here. We have a company coming.
and what he needs to start, I'll give it to him because I can't do everything.
That's
what he
right.
needs to start is the mechanics manicure for all the men who have rough hands, whether they're mechanics, truck drivers, whatever. That's what auto body, my dad was an auto body, so he always had paint residue and stuff like that, and a lot of times he used turpentine, which at the time was what he knew to use. My father
okay.
wasn't using he wasn't soaking his hands in mud or doing something that felt like a woman, but you know,
that's right, that's
you
right.
need to take care of yourself. So he needs to start the mechanics manicure.
Exactly
yeah.
The other lady that know you as the wine concierge, she's laughing. But you know something, it is, and this is what entrepreneurship is all about.
Absolutely.
There is so much we can do as a people, and I hope this brother really takes what we are saying seriously, because here we
Absolutely.
Are on a global airwave talking about this, and a lot of people is going to be jumping on this and starting this as
right.
a product.
And
so why not harness it and just go ahead and brand it? Because you mentioned about it. There is a business here. How many mechanics you see
exactly.
in church on Sunday, and you look and you see in the marking, the lines of their hand is all black and their nails are black because they're using these harsh detergents that is really...
Exactly.
Not helping them. Well, I'm glad he says, I think you gave me good ideas. And,
right.
you know, yes, we did. And, you know, we would really love to have you on here sharing this story. So you go out there and you just brand your thing so
right.
that
and
you can start that.
Right. He needs to do that. And I'm going to have, I'm not sure what part of the country he's in. He needs
Let's
to check my ask. Website. Right.
Let's
he needs
see.
To.
Let's see where he is. Where are you?
But he definitely needs to keep in touch with me because at my Ideation for You Summit, I help people with things like that. Hey, you have this little idea, so you think, and I help them bring it to fruition to a viable business, and I have one coming up in June.
All right, amazing. And we just pray that he could be at the conference on May 6th, and that, you know, he could get one-on-one conversation with you and how we can get this thing started, because
I mean, these are the little nuggets. Right. These are the little nuggets. I mean, you know, my speaking time will be, you know, will be interactive. So
exactly.
You know.
He's in California.
Okay.
All right.
He needs
so,
the contact.
You know,
yeah.
You're right here in the U.S. And even if you were in another country, we could get this baby up and running.
Right. He needs
and
to
hey,
do that
next
and bring some other friends that know some, you know, that have an idea and come on out. Yeah.
Come on out. And next year, you can be one of the speakers talking about how you talk about the idea, and look at it now, it's a blooming business.
Exactly.
So CA Living, man, here is a way to make your millions. There are mechanics all over the world that will be tripping for this product. Oh,
exactly.
You know, it makes me wonder where the time goes when we're having fun. I also want to remind people that they can call in. The number is 646-915-8166 to reach out to my people. Oh, yes. He's talking about, you know, doing webinars to reach out to people. And all those things are good and well. And this is why this show is devoted to educating, inspiring, and empowering entrepreneurs. Because as entrepreneurs, we understand that we don't need to be hungry so long as we stay in the lane that God created us to be in.
Yeah.
Unique creativity. Each of us have something that is lying dormant in us. And, you know, don't keep talking about it. Take action, because we talk about it. And while we are sitting down stewing in the idea and procrastinating, you looking on late night TV and you see an infomercial with your idea.
Yeah.
And because you did not take action about it, it's going to be too late. So we want you to just step out and follow through on what you're doing, whether you do webinars or conference about it. But we want you to create a product. And before you start doing a lot about it, you need to brand it and call it yours, so nobody won't be able to pull the rug out from under you, because that is your intellectual property. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. He's giving me a little perk that he likes the style with which I do things, and it's just God. It's, you know, I'm just being obedient, and there's really nothing special about me other than the fact that I turn up for business and allow God to work through me. So I thank my guests. I thank all of you, my listeners, for, you know, tuning in and to help me to manifest what God has inside of me. So, we are at 11:37, Mr.
Wow.
Nee.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. I'm just having a good time talking with you and your listeners. So I really, it's just gone by, and I really don't want it to end, but go ahead.
Oh, no, you got to hear this. Can you imagine the person that knows you as the wine connoisseur?
Uh-huh.
Guess what she says?
What?
Oh, man, if I wasn't already doing so much, I'd make the mechanic hot.
So whoever that is listening out in California, you better get it started. And you know what? Let me interject this. Because on my 40th birthday trip, I went out to the West Coast. I said I wanted to drive Route 1 and, you know, drive the coast. And the coast was really topsy-turvy, and it was a lot of snake
road, so it was very tense and stressful. But it was beautiful, but it was tense and stressful. So while I was driving out there, me and my mother flew into LAX. We drove all the way up to Ukiah, all the way up to Ukiah. So it was about 7.5 hours drive. We probably made like 1-2 stops to get something to eat, take a break.
Okay,
and I never knew that there were that many avocado and all these nut farms up there, almonds and pistachios and all that. He is right in the heart of it, and he better do it, because if I come back out to California, it's done.
He's now taking us serious, because he's asking how to copyright mud products, and I'm telling him to call you and I.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk him through the things he needs to do. That's right. He understands that this is serious. He say he's going to get his shovel out. And yes, you need to
get your shovel out. You need to make some strategic alliances.
That's right. So I'm going to give him my my telephone number here and my email, so he can email us.
Yeah.
So you can continue, Denise. You spoke about the use of olive oil and all of that. And let's just touch a bit on some of the things that we can eat.
Everything being natural. Now, don't get me wrong. I do eat fish and things like that. Sometimes I don't eat all fish. Oily fish, I had a bout with gout. So oily fish, smoked herring, things like that, I don't eat. Salmon, excellent. Mahi-mahi, excellent. Of course, your tilapia, those types of fishes, your light white fishes are great. When I want some weight, I get a good salmon. I had some last night, and I couldn't finish it because it was such a big hunk of fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good for you. All of your fruits and vegetables, definitely get more into your antioxidants, your pomegranates, your blueberries. Make that, make your smoothies. While I love yogurt smoothies, a lot of times the dairy is not good for allergies. So I had to learn to just, to use water. And what I'll do is I'll have ice, and I will have one of my best smoothies in the whole wide world. I will have natural grape juice, ice cubes, and put in some different fruits, whether it's strawberries, pomegranate, blueberries. And that is just a wonderful smoothie for me. I'm not eating a meal. Sometimes I will have that for lunch in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
when I'm working, a normal 8-hour day. If I have to work, extremely long hours to get some, a project done, get a curriculum done, I will
mm-hmm.
eat, vegetables and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But cook more. Don't,
right.
I know we have to keep the economy up with restaurants, but
mm-hmm.
guess what? If you start demanding more of your vegetarian plates, they
right.
will make it up if it's not on the menu. So do not
That's
think,
right.
oh, it's not on the menu. Ask
That's
them,
right.
what vegetarian can I have? Can I create something?
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, after a while, there are places, normal chains like Denny's and IHOP and all those places that are now having vegetarian, only menus added to their current menu, because people are demanding it. But you have to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, they're not going to do it.
Yeah,
don't ask for it.
There's someone in the chat room, and she wants you to know that she has replaced her dairy in her smoothie with the silk and tofu.
Right.
So that's what she's doing. Yep.
Right. And that's good. I mean, because I am a big milk drinker, but I really have to do it in my and I do like whole milk. It's not the best for me. But yeah, the silk and the tofu are really helpful for smoothies. I used to get the other thing you could do sometimes, add a little flavor. Have some natural vanilla. That's a wonderful thing too for a smoothie. So if you have your silk milk, throw in some blueberries, strawberries, bananas, and a little vanilla flavoring, like a tablespoon. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it's filling. That's the other thing. It is filling like a normal meal. When you are done, you don't want to eat.
I tell you, you know what, because I'm doing as much natural juice as I can. I
mm-hmm.
bought that juicer. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
In the past, I used to use the pulps to make natural muffins.
Oh,
but now
yeah.
I'm not doing the muffins again, and I look on the pulp, and I'm thinking, man, why am I throwing this in the garbage? So you know what I started doing 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I bought that magic bullet.
Oh, okay.
So now I put the pulp,
back in there after I juice it with some of the juice.
Yeah.
And I add, there are certain fruits now that I'm not putting to the juicer, like my cantaloupe, my watermelon, and all of that. I put my carrots and my beets and my apple through the juicer.
Right.
But that part that comes out with my fresh ginger, I now put my flax, as I grind my own flax, and I put
yes.
that back in the magic bullet machine, and I really liquefy that. So now
yep.
my juice is real thick.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do just green. Sometimes I mix everything together, and people see me drinking, and they say, "Oh, what is that?" And I say, "Don't ask me like that. I'm healthy, you know."
Well, and I want to give something else to the audience for Easter. So everybody likes, you know, a lot of, you know, foods that we love, sweet potatoes and things like that. Bake your sweet potatoes. Take the skin off. Don't put anything on it. No brown sugar. Nothing.
I just ate that last night.
Get some orange juice with the pulp in it and mix it in. And get a blender, you know, like you're mixing a cake, like
mm-hmm.
a mixer, not a blender, but a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And just blend it in
mm-hmm.
so it's nice and soft, and then put it back in the oven another 20 minutes, and it is so good. And it's just orange juice and sweet potatoes. They sell that at Whole Foods for like $5-6 a pound. And
ooh,
you know,
I'm going to try that. I never did that because I bake my sweet potatoes.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the American bake the sweet potatoes. I love those too. But we have one in the West Indies that the skin is red.
Okay.
And I just introduced my friend to that one last week.
Right.
So I buy it and I bake it in my oven and I keep it in my refrigerator and I just slice it and I just sit here and eat it. But now you say to do the orange juice.
Yeah, orange juice, and it brings out the flavor. And then if you want a little bit, you know, we're used to marshmallows and all that stuff. Throw some nuts in there. Throw some dates in there.
Ooh, so I'm going to be doing that.
Delicious.
I'm going to be doing this for Easter here.
Yes.
I'm going to be baking that baby up.
Ooh,
yes. I might even be juicing my own orange because I have
right.
The juicer. I have bought the hand juicer and I have the electric juicer. Oh my heavens, Denise, can you believe?
Yeah.
11:46. Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Somebody says that oh, that sounds awesome. I will seek a fresh sweet potato recipe for this Sunday's dinner. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. And I'm so happy that we were able to contribute to something good for your family to this Easter dinner.
Yes,
Denise, I would like for you to please take 6 minutes and just give us your closing thoughts. My heaven, we were thinking we would not have enough to say. And did
we
surprise ourselves? We have plenty and we still have a lot more we didn't say. So
yeah,
we are looking for people to come out to that conference on May the 6th.
Yeah.
Through the 9th, visit us on www.visionweekendconference.com. So take 6 minutes, Denise, to give us your closing thoughts, my sister.
Thank you. So I know that we talked about a lot of things, and you're like, well, you know, well, what about, you know, business and, you know, the Vision Weekend, isn't it about business and helping businesses? Well, yes, it is. And I wanted to share my story, and I'm glad that Dr. Daphne wanted me to, because when we talked, you know, the last night and then a couple days before that, she said, I really want them to get to know you. And it's all part of the makeup. You are part of your makeup for your business. Being healthy is part of the makeup. Let me tell you something. When you don't have all those toxins in your body, you're lighter. You feel lighter. You don't feel sluggish. You feel happier. You feel healthier. You want to approach what you're doing with a different type of vigor.
Mm-hmm.
You want your vision to come through. People will say, you look different, or
mm-hmm.
you're glowing, or you seem happy. That's
mm-hmm.
because you feel better on the inside from a health
mm-hmm.
and a physical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And mentally things happen, you know, when you're physically feeling better, and you want to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I went to my naturopath, I wanted to be healthy overall for a reason. I looked at some of the top women who are kind of my silent role models, and
mm-hmm.
I looked at their regimens, and everybody exercised, and everybody ate different, and that's how they had the energy to do what they need to do to be successful. So, yes, the Professional Green Network, you know, I help people you know, make sure that their business is sustainable and their business is green. But there is an aspect of the person that needs to be the same thing as well. So while I'm not a naturopath physician, yes, I do help people take care of the total picture, just like the Vision Weekend Conference. You're going to have, you know, the motivators, the people talking about relationships, the people talking about paradigm shifts within the world financially, you know, where our world is going to on a business platform.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to talk about positive mindsets, everything. I'm going to be talking about, you know, green business things.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's someone that's there that's a designer that I guess is going to talk about image and making sure that you look good.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. So the Vision Weekend Conference is it takes care of the whole kit and caboodle, because it's the person and the business. For some of us, we are our business for now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have an assistant
mm-hmm.
and advisors,
mm-hmm.
but it helps me make sure that, because the vision is me, the vision isn't everybody else. So I have to take care of myself as well as take care of the business. And that's one of the things one of the huge things that I see that the Vision Conference does. And while it's, you know, while it's focused, you know, to small businesses and entrepreneurs, definitely professionals that are looking to transition need to come out. I know that it is on Mother's Day weekend. And let me tell you something. I haven't traveled on a Mother's Day weekend in 10 years because I don't deal with traffic. I don't. And I definitely don't deal with it on 95. On the East Coast, if anybody knows about 95, it's like the 101 or the 405 in California. It's horrendous. Or the Loop in Chicago. I mean, it's horrendous. But Dr. Daphne invited me. I couldn't
yes.
say no. And
yes.
I told my mom,
yes.
I said, well, Mom, I guess I'll see you for Mother's Day. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'll be coming back from the conference. So my cousin has dinner on the major holidays. So I said, I guess I'll see you at Cousin Tony's house because I'll be coming back from Connecticut. So she was like, oh, okay. But normally we don't do that because we do something during Easter and we do something after, later
yes.
on during Memorial
yes.
Day week.
Yes.
But I feel very passionate about it. And if you say, well, it's Mother's Day weekend and I want to be, you know, bring your mother. Tell
mm-hmm.
Mom, hey, Mom, send Mom
That's
some
right.
flowers.
That's
come,
right.
Come, get your vision dealt with, get it off the ground, get it polished, dust it off. There are going to be people there that you're going to start seeing your plan clearly. You're going to be able to take notes and really come away with something tangible in your hand. I've already started networking with some of the other speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they're excited about it. They're excited to see and help you. People are ready. So
That's
you
right.
need to be ready. Come on. If you're saying, well, I don't have this and I don't have a bureau and I don't have a business name, come anyway so that you can get that. You never know. You're going to walk away with it. We're going to help you walk away with it.
Clarity on what to do. And the conference is taking place at a spa. So whether your mom want to be sitting in the class with you or not, treat her
Thank
to a
you.
Spa. Let
Thank
her
you.
Enjoy the time that she took to give birth to you. Let her live it up by having, you know, that day in the spa where she can feel good about
right.
herself. Because we take the mothers out to dinner. We send them
exactly.
flowers and everything. And before you know it, the flowers are wilted. But think about giving her a spa treatment for that day where somebody can really wait on her. She
exactly.
has slaved on you all these years. Now it's time to have somebody slaving for her. So, you
right.
know.
And if I could piggyback, Dr. Daphne, I did something for my mother when she turned 65, and, you know, mm-hmm. we traveled a lot that, you know, was like over a year's time,
mm-hmm.
The whole year that she was 65, you know,
mm-hmm.
before she turned 66. And we traveled,
yes.
and I did all these special things for her because I said, if anything ever happens, I want to make sure that you've traveled first class and you've had your diamonds
right.
and your furs, and she
yes.
had all that. And we go to conferences, and my mom, where she didn't, was like, well, I don't know about the spa. Now she loves the spa.
That's
so
right.
your mom, and my mom does not want to be, I'm going to tell you, in all the business and all the strategy sessions, I mean, she doesn't
oh,
want to
yeah.
do that. Sometimes she's like, I just want to do what I want to do. And guess what?
That's
she'll
right.
go to the spa. She'll
mm-hmm.
go out and sit out in the sun.
That's
she'll
right.
do all
and
that stuff. Treat your mom. Invest in your business.
That's
and
right.
your mother is going to be your best supporter. She's
and that's
going to be your best cheerleader.
That's
bring
right.
her, invest into her so that you have a you know, somebody
a
to
support.
Lean on when you need it, and invest in your business. If you say,
mm-hmm.
well, I don't know about that money, guess what, honey? You're
going to
spend
a
whole
right
lot more
off.
Than that. That
That's
is
right.
a business investment.
A business
you can write
right
it off, and
yes.
it is well
yes.
worth it.
Yes, yes. You know, Denise, oh, I am so, so honored to have
Thank
spent
you,
these
Daphne.
2 hours with you, my sister. Thank you for the commitment and the vision that God gave me. And I am just so blessed to spend this time with you. Not only did you invest in me, you invest in my listeners across the world, regardless of where they are. I know
okay.
that you deposited well in them today, and I thank you for your investment. I can't wait to share this stage with you on May the 8th. I know that people are going to be up for a treat. Again, the Vision Weekend Conference is designed to shape your vision for greater success. So you don't want to miss that. You listen. You have just listened to L. Denise Jackson explain to you why you need to be there. Because if you don't have clarity of vision, if your body is not right, if your health is not right, then you cannot expect to be successful and wealthy. You know, entrepreneurship is a complete package.
Yes.
So we have
yes.
to understand the importance of looking about ourselves in order to just manifest greater success. So visit the website at www.visionweekendconference.com. We have extended the early bird registration through April the 30th. This is your opportunity to rush on there and register. The hotel, you can't beat that. They're giving
oh
you a
goodness.
Phenomenal rate.
You
that
cannot
doesn't
beat
happen
that rate.
Anywhere in the
and
world.
That, right. And that is a first-rate hotel.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
That place is beautiful, Dr. Daphne.
I
can't wait.
I'm telling you, it's the best. I mean, that place with a golf course and everything, you know that normally those hotel rooms go for over $400 and something
yes.
per night. And they are allowing entrepreneurs in there for a mere $109 a night. You know that that is a miracle from God. So don't slap them in the face. Come on out. Be with us. Let us turn entrepreneurship around. Let us all be part of history in the making. Again, I want you to understand on this Good Friday, the real and true meaning of Easter. And let this be the beginning of a healthy lifestyle for you. I love you. And also when Resurrection Day comes on Sunday, enjoy that and know that God paid a price with his son for each and every one of us to enjoy in the quality of the lifestyle that we now do. I want you to know that you were created for a destiny. Do not allow anyone to derail you off of this dream. I love you and God bless you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Lord, hear my plea. Reap
grab it in your spirit and say this.
Thank you
for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it.
No more than that.
For showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
No more than that.
Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight.
Show me.
Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for.
I know my destiny.
Yes, the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I'm here for. For showing me. To the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Hello? Ooh, what did I do? Good morning. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I am glad you did. I am so glad you did. Isn't God good? But look on that man talking. Oh my God. Oh, Denise, I am telling you, God is so amazing. God is so amazing. You know, last night I was talking with Jennifer. She's also going to be one of the speakers. And I connected with Jennifer from LinkedIn. When I put the thing out about doing the conference, she sent me an email back that she wants to be part of the vision. She believes it's just needed and everything. And last night we were talking on the phone, and she said, Daphne, I just wanted to know how appreciative I am to be part of this vision that God has called you to. She said, you know what I see? You are doing what Oprah didn't do. What Oprah is not going to do.
There's no other conference over the world, and I've been all over the world doing different things. This vision that God has called you to is bigger than you. And she starts going and she starts going on all the directions that she sees God taking this to. And Denise, before you know it, the tears was running out my eyes. And she said, don't worry about what it looked like now. Because what it looked like now is not the end product. And I said, Jennifer, I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. I needed to hear that. And she said, you crying? I said, yes. Because that's what God's speaking to her, to tell me. And for this man to come on this show this morning and talking about that. And Dennis, this is one of the reasons why I do not do pre-designed questions for the show. Because I have to allow the spirit to move. And a lot of people get bent out of shape when I tell them I don't need it. You let the spirit move through you. That's right. Because then they're going to hear everything. They're not going to come to the conference anymore. But I tell you something. That's right. What they wanted. You know, I for years I've been working at the women's prison here in Connecticut. Late last year I decided I'm not giving them so much because they have money and they're not really investing in me and all of that. They want me to come 3-4 times a year to keynote event, job fair and everything, and they don't want to write me a check. And I said, man, 9 years is enough. I already pay back. But you know what happened? I remember one Women's History Month, Denise, they had me as a keynote speaker for the women. And, oh, I spent long time preparing this presentation. And I went and I opened the folder and I put it on the podium and the Spirit said to me, you can close that because you ain't going to use it. And I close the book and I look at the women. I say, ladies, my bigger boss says, that close it because I don't need it. I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but as it happens, the one thing I can promise you, I will give it to you. And Denise, when I said that, it was like I opened a faucet because it just starts flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. And one lady raised her hand. She said, Miss Daphne, can you give me 5 minutes? Please give me 5 minutes. And I'm looking around. And she got up. She said, please, can I have 5 minutes? I said, yes. And she stormed out that room, Denise. And guess what she did? She went down, and they call it the general compound. And she went down to gather women that she knew was from Jamaica to come and hear me. And then she came in with all these women behind her. She said, listen, when you began speaking, I said, no. I know these women down there are from your country. They need to hear you. And that's why I ask you and thank you so much. And Denise, as the Spirit started delivering, because it wasn't me, I noticed women were crying. The line was long when I finished because people wanted to tell me. That was what I needed. This is what I'm going through with my family. This is what is happening to my children while I'm in here. I needed to hear that. You know, and I'm just so thankful. I thank you for coming on for the show. And God knows the reason why I didn't confirm anybody else, because this is what people need to know. You know, so, yes, yes, yes. And that's what it's all about, you know. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And this is what is happening to me now. I'm getting a lot of soul ties, if you may, with a lot of new people that God is putting in my life. And I am so thankful for that. All right. So, yes, and I will talk with you soon because I have to rush down here to talk to this man about the Vision Conference. So I'm sure we will be speaking later. You stay blessed and have a blessed day. Thank you. Love you, my sister. Bye-bye.